Chapter 8.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Mace was surprised enough when Padawan Kenobi called out John's name, and John responded in kind with his first name. As far as he knew, the gossip mill was still running rampant, leaving his Padawan sorely isolated. Considering his shyness, John being on a first-name basis with anyone was a shock. That surprise had nothing on John smiling and responding to Kenobi easily, without direct questioning. Mace waved his Padawan off and withheld the frown until they were out of sight. Kenobi wasn't a poor choice for a friend, Mace supposed. Yes, his short apprenticeship had essentially been one scandal after another. Qui-Gon's report on Bandomir hadn't done much to clarify why he'd taken the boy as a Padawan, but that wasn't surprising considering Xanatos's involvement. Similarly, the reasons for the boy's disobedience on Melida Dawn were unclear, but considering he'd returned to the temple and accepted probation without complaint, Mace couldn't fault him. Initiate Chun's death was also unfortunate, but if nothing else, proved he was a loyal friend. No, Kenobi would likely be fierce in John's defense. But it seemed unwise for John's only connection to the temple to be a Padawan dancing around the edges. There was a shatterpoint surrounding their relationship that Mace had seen spark to life at John's hesitant smile. He would keep an eye on them, but Mace couldn't bring himself to begrudge his Padawan anything that made him smile. Not after the sheer misery he'd witnessed spurred by John's nightmare. Mace was taken off guard when John was more withdrawn the next day than he had been since the beginning. The circles under his eyes were particularly dark that morning, and Mace had the sinking feeling that his Padawan was not getting enough sleep. He had only felt the one nightmare in all their time together, but it was possible John had been muffling his reactions. There was no way to tell since Mace would not infringe on his Padawan's private space. Instead, he watched John's pale gaze focus on breakfast alone, shoulders stiff. "Are you all right, Padawan?" Mace asked, gentle. John's eyes flickered up and down fast enough that Mace almost didn't catch it. "May I ask a question, Master?" Mace pushed a bit of the pride he was feeling at his Padawan's bravery down their bond. John ducked his head. "Of course, John, you can always ask questions." John seemed to steel himself. "When do Padawans start going on dangerous missions, Master?" Mace frowned in confusion. That hadn't been the question he was expecting. He also thought they had covered this information before, when Mace had informed his Padawan that they would be temple-bound for the foreseeable future. "Some Padawans never go on dangerous missions at all, if that is not their master's specialty," Mace replied. "In general, we try only to assign senior Padawans and their masters if a mission's details imply some degree of risk." John's brow wrinkled in confusion before he wiped it away. "When does someone become a senior Padawan?" "Most don't attain the rank of senior Padawan until they're quite far into their apprenticeship, and at least their species equivalent of 16 or 17 standard." Mace sighed ruefully. "I have no doubt you'll achieve the rank much sooner, considering that you have already been training for quite some time. Why are you so curious?" Though he took care to remove any hint of accusation, John still flinched. "Obi-Wan, Padawan Kenobi, was telling me about one of his missions, and it seemed dangerous." Mace sighed and rubbed at his forehead. Hopefully, Kenobi hadn't told John anything too traumatizing, considering the trouble he and Jin usually got into. "Padawan Kenobi is a bit of a special case, I'm afraid. He and his master have the Sith's luck. No matter how simple the mission we send them on appears, they manage to find blaster fire." "Oh." John's frown was nearly imperceptible, but there. "Master Jin doesn't purposefully put them in danger, but his Padawan has likely seen more action than any of his creshmates," Mace added. John's frown didn't go away, but he nodded and went back to his breakfast. For all that Mace was even more concerned about what Kenobi was telling the boy, he was also pleased. That was the most engaged and talkative he'd ever managed to nudge John into being. Though he was still unnaturally quiet compared to Deppa's inability to shut up, Mace was making progress. Their spar that afternoon was as baffling as it ever was. Even though John was a skilled duelist, impressive for any Padawan, especially considering his age, Mace always got the bizarre feeling that he was holding back. John focused on a mix of Ataru and Neeman. While his use of the Force during spars was certainly advanced, Mace couldn't shake the feeling that he was missing something. Mace enjoyed the time spent with his Padawan nonetheless. He sent John off to class, the seeds of an idea just beginning to take root. Resigning himself, Mace picked up his comm. "Deppa, I think you should take your sibling Padawan on an outing." Night Balaba was confusing. She'd appeared outside John's last class, smirking, and grabbed for his hand. He'd managed to restrain his flinch and acquiesced to her tugging. John desperately wanted to ask where she was taking him, but she wasn't familiar like Obi-Wan or Master Windu. Night Balaba had stopped by for dinner a few times since Master Windu had taken him as a Padawan, but John didn't know her reactions, not really. Not everyone in the temple could be nice. John kept his mouth shut as she pulled him down into the lower temple, where he'd hardly ever explored. There were shadows everywhere. If worse came to worse, he could get away from her before she hurt him too badly. They stopped in front of a marble bust of a Jedi Master, one strange spot of cleanliness in a hall coated in dust. "Here we are. Do you know why we're here, John?" Night Balaba smiled at him. John looked down at the footprints they'd left in the dust. "No, Night Balaba." "Hey!" Night Balaba poked him on the nose, unexpected enough that John couldn't flinch away. "I thought I told you to call me Deppa, kid. You're my sibling Padawan. We don't need any formalities. Most of the point of this exercise is so we can bond." John shifted, uncomfortable. Calling Obi-Wan by his name was one thing. The other Padawan was only a few years older, arguably at the same level of experience as he was. Night Balaba was a Jedi Knight. She'd passed her trials and survived her apprenticeship. Calling her Deppa was disrespectful. But disobeying her orders was arguably worse. "All right, Deppa," John whispered. He chanced a glance at her face. She smiled at him and ruffled his hair. Again, John was too slow to flinch away. "There we go, kid. Now, I'm here to teach you some of the most important things you'll ever learn as a Padawan. Most kids get a head start on this because they grow up in the temple, and with a master as observant as ours, these lessons are even more important. Understood?" John swallowed nervously. "Yes, Deppa." Her smile took on an edge that was distinctly unfamiliar. It made John want to run. "Great. It's time for you to learn how to sneak in and out of the temple without getting caught." The Coruscant Temple was old. Monolithic, it stood in the center of several high-traffic and high-security thoroughways, towering over the buildings that surrounded it. Four spires at each of the cardinal directions, with one more marking the center of the entire temple, climbed into the air from the ziggurat below. Rarely, but still frequently enough that it was not news, dwellers of Coruscant could see tiny specks leaping from the top of the spires and diving down to the main entrance or a balcony. Solid slabs of stone and divercrete marked the newer, reconstructed portions of the temple, dots of green from the outdoor gardens and fluttering flags breaking apart the gleaming white of the outer walls. Many saw the massive figure that was the Jedi Temple on the horizon and assumed what they could see was the whole of it. But, like many things in Coruscant, the deeper you went, the older it got. While towering over everything above ground, dust and cobwebs collected in the subterranean passages of the old temple. In one section, close to the heart of this particular temple, there were still the original flagstones, weathered and soft to the touch, if one avoided the scorch marks burned into the stone. It was rumored that ghosts wandered those old training halls, moaning out their last breaths for eternity, echoes of an ancient past that many would rather like to forget happened at all. As such, the rumors led the lower levels to become stagnant and abandoned. Few dared enter those dark halls except those who did not wish to be seen, and the occasional Nephret. Except, unlike many other days, laughter echoed down these halls. Obi-Wan huffed out another giggle as Jon slid around him neatly in the shadows, poking him in the ribs once before stepping to the side and reappearing in an alcove halfway down the hall. Ever since Jon's sister Padawan had taken him on an adventure through the most well-known secret entrances, as well as a few of her personal favorites, the two of them had abandoned night training in the Sal to explore. Few Jedi ventured down so deep into the temple, and those who did were typically temple guard, who were obligated to map out the most vulnerable back entrances. The ones who came down here by choice were far crazier. Crumbling sections of floor and stair, broken hover lifts, and gaping holes traveling several levels warned off those who were not as practiced in force use from venturing further. For Jon and Obi-Wan, however, it was a beautiful and currently untapped playground. Shadow walking, as a concept, was easy enough to grasp. Obi-Wan had known the moment Jon had first stepped with him that he would be able to do it. Naturally, Jon's soft words had helped.
Don't think of it as doorways. Doorways limit where you can go and what you can bring through them, Jon had said seriously, pale eyes focused on Obi-Wan's. The edges of shadows are more flexible than you realize. If you think of them as more like streams and rivers, connected to each other in one big flow, you'll get to where you want eventually. Shadow walking is merely the control of the flow to where you are going. Bend the stream to spit you out in the shadow you want to come out of.
With that explanation and practice, Obi-Wan soon got the hang of stepping into a shadow and being swept along until he could step out where he wished to. Even more practice around the temple in the middle of the night had resulted in a mental map of shadows to slip from. Entrances and exits that always remained, no matter the time of day, were aqueducts in his mind, well-traveled and familiar. Roads available during the night were his major rivers, daytime shadows their tributaries. Less explored shadows and their connecting paths became trickling streams, hesitantly connecting back to each other. A web built itself into the temple until Obi-Wan could walk straight into one shadow behind a statue in the front entrance hall and step out on the other side around the corner from the council room in the middle of the day. Down here, in the depths of the temple, the possibilities were endless. Obi-Wan watched as Jon slipped out of his alcove and leaped up towards the ceiling, reaching with the force just enough to fling himself almost into the ceiling stones, 30 feet from the ground. A twist in the air and a smirk towards him, and Jon was blinking from that spot to one several feet over before he plummeted toward the ground. Catching his breath, Obi-Wan started in shock just as Jon reached again, pulling the shadows towards him and vanishing before he could hit the floor, reappearing at the ceiling where he had dropped from before. Giggling, Jon continued this loop of falling, twisting, and tumbling, a smile stretched across his face that made Obi-Wan grin. He took a step to the side, and with a single pull to the force, he was stepping out from the ceiling sideways, Jon laughing in clear delight as Obi-Wan joined his looping circuit. End of chapter 8.